Weitermachen im Wort, lob den Herrn für diese Gemeinschaft. Und wir könnten
now we can continue with the word. And let's read John chapter 17, 20 to 26. John chapter 17, verses 20 to 26. I do not pray for these alone, but also for those who will believe in me through their word, that they all may be one, as you, Father, are in me, and I in you, that they also may be one in us, that the world may believe that you sent me. And the glory which you gave me, I have given them, that they may be one just as we are one. I in them, and you in me, that they may be made perfect in one, and that the world may know that you have sent me, and have loved them as you have loved me. Father, I desire that they also, whom you gave me, may be with me where I am, that they may behold my glory which you have given me. For you loved me before the foundation of the world. O righteous Father, the world has not known you, but I have known you, and these have known that you sent me. And I have declared to them your name, and will declare it, that the love with which you love me may be in them, and I in them. Amen. And I have made your name known to them. Hallelujah. It is wonderful. The Lord made known the name and the person of the Father God known to the disciples. We saw our God would like to have an expression, express himself. He is surely invisible. He showed his glory in creation, and you can admire it in springtime now. But creation is fallen. I could say a lot about that, but he manifested himself in the Word as well. For example, in the Old Testament, Exodus 31, from verse 18, Moses prayed, Father, O God, let me behold your glory. And the Lord God did. He showed him his glory, full of goodness, full of mercy, but righteous. In the Old Testament, there are so many veils still. I was impressed recently to read Joshua 7, where this man Achan was punished because he took something which was had been banned by God. God, without mercy, had to kill him. Even Achan confessed his guilt, his sin. But nevertheless, he had to be stoned and killed, and all the ones with him. It is really terrible. That was the time of law, right? Saints, we had a lot of fellowship about this portion of the Old Testament. We do have to see in the New Testament, with the person of Jesus Christ, we can see who is God.
The Herr hat uns gesagt, hat uns vom Vater gesprochen.
God spoke of our Father. He said, your Father. From Matthew, he says that. It's our Father, full of goodness and love. Right? The Lord made known to us the name of the Father. He also showed us how this person is full of truth and righteousness. There is no hypocrisy. The Lord exposed this in man. But he still had such a heart for man. Right? He described how the Father is in Luke 15. For example, the father with his two sons, the parable of the prodigal son. He waited for that son. Right? He went out also out of the feast that had started to gain back the older son. So he cares for both sons. If we really want to know our Lord, we have to look to the Lord Jesus. He showed us how one he was with God in his relationship with them. This oneness was fully dependent on the Father. In John 15, he said, I cannot do anything from myself. And this perfect fellowship means the Father shares everything with the Son. Lord Jesus, what a wonderful fellowship. What a wonderful oneness. And the Lord prayed for this oneness, that this oneness between him and the Father become also our reality. As Olaf summarized yesterday, it's two criteria saying, first is, we are in him, and he is in us. And then, verse 24, he prayed, Father, I will, I desire. Because he knew that this was also absolutely the desire of the Father as well. That we may be where the Lord is. We will come to that point later on. Hallelujah. And then verse 25, O righteous Father, we know our Father is also righteous. The world has not known you. The world has not known you. This oneness is not according to the world. The brother said, there may be sort of oneness in the world if people are gathering together in a stadium and cry and shout for a certain football team or soccer team or on a certain music concert. They may be kind of united. But the next game, you may lose or a music star is leading a terrible life. You may lose this oneness. This is not the oneness God speaks of, and we have been called into. It wasn't strong in the fellowship that we saw. Our oneness is not us having the same teaching on the oneness. Also in the French-speaking fellowship, is not a kind of practice that makes us one, or not even a conference and we all partake. This does not make us one. The oneness comes if we abide in Christ and he in us. As it was shared, this is in the Spirit. The oneness between the Father and the Son and the Spirit and the Son, it means that the Lord is His Spirit. So He's expressing this oneness wonderfully. The Spirit is manifesting as everything of this oneness. This is really wonderful. And after the first meeting, saints, I had such an impression, such a conviction. We really have been called by something with a great calling to experience this oneness of our Christian life and church life, to have this in the oneness. This is tremendous. To express this oneness between the Father and the Son in the Spirit. Don't forget that. It's marvelous. And it is nothing we anxiously try to preserve. No, this is a glad news, good news. We saw last winter conference. This good news is much more beyond simply be saved. It is this oneness. This is what you can experience with the saints you meet in your neighborhood, at work, in school. You can experience this, as we saw. If we both are on the same single way, Jesus Christ, it is possible with saints that take the Lord seriously. Doesn't mean that we have to start activities, visit all the different Christian groups. No, we know what we have to do. And this oneness, what came out clearly is that this oneness comes only if Christians meet together and then go back to their own groups. No, oneness is practical. In our church life, this oneness will be tested. In our preparation meeting as brothers, one brother has a burden, a brother shares his burden, and you have certain points to establish the outline, but then the brother said, this is not the point, this is not the spirit. Well, this may shock you at first instance. Well, what do you do in this case? When we are on this way of the crucified one, of the resurrected one, everything is new in Him. Then you will drop your negative sensation, right? Or in the prayer meeting, you have a burden. You have a burden to pray. But the next brother praying has a different burden. In the course of your meeting, not everything is the same, normal, automatic. No. You may experience disturbance. Even if you have a technical system like this and you cannot physically come together, then the oneness will be tested. But if Christ is in your midst, saints, this oneness is here and remains in spite of any kind of disturbance. We have a way to deal with it. Come through. We are not perfect. There will be problems, but Christ is the solution. Hallelujah. The church life is so precious. Actually, saints, we experience this oneness for the people of God. We are forerunners, right? We are discovering new land. And everyone who is thirsty, longing for oneness, have a responsibility to experience this in a good way, right? In humility. We shouldn't be naive, on the other hand. If you start four or five saints meeting together as a church in oneness, there are some in religion who have to defend a certain position, and they try to produce kind of oneness through human organization, over denominational gatherings, etc. You may suffer persecution even if you don't follow this. Let us defend ourselves with the fear of God before the Lord, standing for the truth and love, or sharing it with others, holding on to the truth and love. We have been called with such a high calling. And the question is, now, as someone mentioned yesterday, what shall we do? Now, let's now read the verses in John chapter 15, 1 through 8. In the next meetings, we will still mention a few couple of points, but I will focus on one point this morning. John chapter 15, verses 1 through 8. Let's read together. If there is anybody who would like to read online, I will read to you in English, New King James. John 15, 1 through 8. I am the true vine, and my Father is the vine dresser. Every branch in me that does not bear fruit, he takes away. And every branch that bears fruit, he prunes, that it may bear more fruit. You are already clean because of the word which I have spoken to you. Abide in me, and I in you. As a branch cannot bear fruit of itself, unless it abides in the vine, neither can you, unless you abide in me. I am the vine, you are the branches. He who abides in me, and I in him, bears much fruit. For without me you can do nothing. If anyone does not abide in me, he is cast out as a branch, and is withered. And they gather them, and throw them into the fire, and they are burned. If you abide in me, and my words abide in you, you will ask what you desire, and it shall be done for you. By this my Father is glorified, that you bear much fruit, so you will be my disciples.
Dadurch wird mein Vater verherrlicht, dass ihr viel Frucht bringt und meine Jünger werdet.
Amen. Amen. I'm the true vine, verse 1. I am the vine, you are the branches. Hallelujah. The vine. It's such a meaningless, not a big tree, huge trunk. No, not like an oak or fir, a pine tree. No, the wood is not so smooth. It is, however, full of life. This vine supplies the branches with rich eternal life, bearing fruit. That the branches may be able to bear fruit. It shows us the grace of the Lord You know, the vine is a kind of lian, growing everywhere. And it doesn't bear much fruit, naturally. But the Lord showed us also, in this picture, there is a vine dresser. The Lord chose us with these pictures an important aspect. And this here is a different aspect. The Father is the vine dresser, cutting the branches. This wild plants, he cut carefully. He brings joy to man through this vine and wine. It is wonderful working here of the Lord. This cutting is not always pleasant. It is a discipline. There's a verse in Hebrews 12, verse 9. Hebrews 12, verse 9, saying, furthermore, we have had human fathers who corrected us, and we paid them respect. Shall we not much more readily be in subjection to the Father of spirits and live? Amen. Subject to the Father of spirits and live. The Father, in His wisdom, knows how to deal with us, how to treat us. He has to cut the branches once in a while. This is not pleasant in that moment, is it? But it says in verse 11 in Hebrews 12, now no chastening seems to be joyful for the present, but grief and grievous. Yes. Nevertheless, afterward it yields the peaceable fruit of righteousness to those who have been trained by it. Right? Peaceable fruit. It's a fruit again. Right? My Bible. I marked all the verses speaking of fruit in the New Testament, and even in the Old Testament. The Father wants this fruit, the peaceable fruit of righteousness. This is peace to us. And for the Father, for the Lord, it's a joy, it's a wonderful fruit. He's longing for this fruit. And the Lord shows us this way. What shall we do, saints? He says it in verse 4 of John 15. Abide in me. Abide in me. And of this abiding in Jesus Christ depends our bearing fruit. He who abides in me and I in him bears much fruit. Don't you want to bear much fruit? For without me you can do nothing. For us it is impossible. This bearing of fruit starts with our deliverance. Let go. Love of the world, love for money, all these things. This abiding in the Lord, so important for the prayer, verse 7. If you abide in me, and my words abide in you, you will ask what you desire, and it shall be done for you. Abide in the Lord, for prayer, that the Lord may hear us, be able even to hear us. This is something important. Verse 8, by this my Father is glorified, that you bear much fruit, so you will be my disciples. My Father is glorified and will gain expression. This fruit is the fruit of the Spirit. Galatians 5:22. It's the fruit of the Spirit. Love, joy, peace, patience, endurance. This is so important for the oneness. Oh, Father, Lord Jesus. If we mention this point, abiding in Christ, there is a longing within us, isn't it? It can also become a burden. How do you say? You can walk on wrong ways and have the impression of, oh, I have gone away from the Lord, and now how can I abide in Him? And you may have concepts. Abiding in Christ means I always have to think of Him. And this word may become a heavy burden on you. But this is not true. We have to have a revelation. You are my branches. You are these branches. You should not become. You are. And it is attached to the vine. It is united with it. And it's one with it. If it's not in the vine, it withers. It's a dry piece of wood. We have to realize we are already in Christ Jesus. We do not have to pray, Lord, now please come into us. No, He simply says, abide in me. That means we are in Christ Jesus. If I say this, abide with me at my home, it would be strange. You are not with me. You first have to come to me. But it's not possible today, unfortunately. If the Lord says, abide in me, it means we are in Him. That's wonderful. This is a release. For centuries, brothers ministering, they have not recognized immediately, but when they did, it was such a release. And it was also for me. Hallelujah. Lord Jesus, Ephesians 2 verse 6, Ephesians 2 verse 6, Paul says, God raised us up together and made us sit together in the heavenly places in Christ Jesus. Yes, sit down in the heavenly places. Yeah, heavenly or heavenlies, literally. In this realm, this spiritual realm, it is not physically the sky above you. It is in the spirit, in this realm, which is much superior to our physical, material world. It is superior to what we feel and sense. We have been seated in Christ. This has been accomplished already. It's past tense. If we abide in Christ, then this is our fact. Hallelujah. We do need this revelation. Otherwise, there's a danger. We pray, Lord, come into me. This is wrong to pray for something the Lord has done already. It is in vain. And the enemy is an expert. Make you think that you lack something, certain thing. He succeeded in Genesis already to talk to Eve and say, oh, if you eat of this tree, you will become like God. But God had created husband and wife, man and woman, already according to his image, in his resembling him. The enemy gave them the impression, you lack something, you better eat of this tree, of the wrong tree. We should not receive such lies. Sometimes you may have the impression, the Lord is not here. Well, that's wrong. The Lord is here, as the sun is always there. Even if it's gray and dark day, the sun is still there. No change, not even 1 centimeter. We are in Christ Jesus. There are many more verses that are so important. And how do we abide in Christ? Our thoughts, as it says in Colossians 3 verse 2, Colossians 3 verse 2, says of our thinking, set your mind on the things above, not on the things on the earth. Seek those things which are above, where Christ is. Hallelujah. Where Christ is. This is wonderful, saints. Such a fellowship with the Lord. Not on what is on the earth. The Greek word phreneo has to do with your thinking. It's your thoughts. That have to be nourished by the Word of God, by this truth. Many times I repeat in my heart this verse when I wake up even in the morning, Psalm 73:23. Lord, I'm continuously with you. Lord, I'm continuously with you. I'm always with you. Maybe Luther translation is better. Lord, I abide continuously with you. It has to do with our standing in Christ. Our heart's decision has to be founded, has to be founded on this word here, the fact. We will abide in Christ in the situations, as I was describing before in the church life. You try not to give stumbling. But there are many situations you may experience in your daily living. Your car may have a problem, the children in school, different examinations to take, your driver's license, or a bad news you hear, or someone getting ill. Maybe a problem with the administration, you pay the taxes, your tax declaration, etc. You have to exercise your faith to abide in the Lord. It's a matter of your faith. And Paul in Romans 10 gave a wonderful promise. He's quoting Isaiah It's Romans 10:11. Well, he who, as the scripture says, whoever believes in him will not be put to shame. From Isaiah 28:16. In these situations where you experience something, the first reaction sometimes is, oh, you're shocked, you are discouraged, sorrows come. Yes. But this is not the problem. We are human beings, weak. The point is, let us not abide in these sorrows, in our sadness, in our discouragement. Make up your mind. Decide yourself to turn to him. He who believes in him shall not be put to shame. This verse quoted in Romans 9 and in 1 Peter as well, so three times at least. This is such a promise. We need such a faith. Sometimes it looks hopeless, and we struggle in Colmar, in our city, in a hopeless situation. Our relatives, our neighbors, people we know, look so hopeless. But the Lord promised, he who believes in me shall not be put to shame. That is still a big exercise until the end. Our flesh doesn't like it. Our flesh always wants to see things. And if we read Romans 10:11, we can continue. Verse 12 and 13. For there is no distinction between Jew and Greek, for the same Lord over all is rich to all who call upon him. For whoever calls upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Amen. The Lord showed us a wonderful way here. We can call on the Lord and the Father, as Galatians says, 4 verse 6 and Romans 8:15. Yes, call on him. Even in Luke 11, the Lord says in prayer, he started with Father. Amen. That's always the first we have to pray. Focus on the Lord. Concentrate on the Lord. This is not a form, not a fixed practice. No. Nobody. You'll be free. But the word is clear. Whoever calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved. Saved in the situations, saints. It is really a reaction of the Spirit sometimes when I call on the Lord to enter into this fellowship, not because I'm not in the Lord, outside the Lord, but because my heart should be turned again and again. It's a matter of the heart. This calling on is such a big help to be attached to the Lord, as it says in 1 Corinthians 6:17. He who is joined to the Lord is one spirit with him. So this joining, 1 Corinthians 6:17, is a wonderful portion. He who is joined to the Lord. This is a matter of your heart. I turn to him, and our mouth is such a big help for it. The Lord is one spirit with him. It doesn't say will become one spirit, but it says is one spirit. You come back and enter into this reality. Again, we are one spirit with the Lord. Hallelujah. And then the word is such a help. The picture was good in Luke 6, right? 48. Let me read it to you. Luke. It was mentioned in one of the testimonies already. with the house. It starts 47. Whoever comes to me and hears my sayings and does them, I will show you whom he is like. He is like a man building a house who dug deep and laid the foundation on the rock. Yes. He speaks of applying the word. If you read the word, it's a matter of digging deep. Sometimes you read the first verse and it doesn't touch you. It does not touch you. Maybe you read more verses and even the whole chapter. And all of a sudden you touch the rock. You get down. You touch the Lord. That is such wonderful. The Lord reveals himself to you. The Lord is really faithful. He does it again and again. I also will have to dig deep until the end of my life. It is a challenge. It's not according to our natural concept, right? It's not a illustrated book with nice pictures, a comic. No. The Lord is behind this word. My words are spirit and are life, right? He is a strength to us. There's a strength behind it. He will fulfill. The meeting of all the saints, this is now, but in our daily living, you have stress in the morning, evening, morning, noon, and evening, and then still the church life. You need the meetings. As Hebrews 10 says, don't miss the meetings. The Lord is able to work in the meetings. What I share here is the Lord spoke through the first meetings. And in the winter conference, we read Ephesians 5:18-21. In the meetings, you can be filled by the Spirit through the prayers, through the songs. We proclaim. This is, and repeat. This is wonderful. This Spirit makes us one. Now, closing with John 15, 9 through 11, the Lord says, as the Father loved me, I also have loved you. Abide in my love. If you keep my commandments, you will abide in my love. Just as I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love. These things I've spoken to you that my joy may remain in you and that your joy may be full. Has touched me. The Lord, in a general way, said, abide in me. But then these verses, he emphasizes, abide in my love. It shows in a clear manner, the love is the greatest. His love is the greatest. We can never speak enough of his love. He says, as the Father loved me, I also have loved you. The Father gave his love completely to the Son. This was a perfect oneness. Love leads to oneness. And so much the Lord loves us. He wants to share everything with us. Maybe we are still children, spiritually speaking. Maybe you cannot share everything yet with us, but if we abide in him, if he grows in us, the Lord is able to add more riches into us and guide us into his riches. In the end, he says in verse 11, these things I've spoken to you, that my joy may remain in you, and that your joy may be full. Of these verses in John 15, shall never oppress us, never be a burden on us. No, these words are meant to give us joy, even full joy. Do you want this full joy? Ah, the glad tidings is that we can have it. We are in Christ Jesus already. We are one spirit with him. Praise the Lord, saints.